captain of Ingolimus. Akivas faces his job in GOG with Keeve and Ellie and Zooey.
Hey fam, welcome back to New Girl Old Guy for season 6, episode 1 of New Girl House Hunt. I'm neither the new girl nor the old guy. My name is Ali Lasher, and I'm here with the titular old guy, Keeve Winninger.
That's me.
That's Keeve.
Sixth season, best season, they say.
Did you see my chaotic tweet to you and Alex Chester before we jumped on here?
Yeah. I think I was like 1 minute late. So
No. The podcast idea.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Do you see it now?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a pretty normal idea.
What is that? Pretty normal idea.
Yeah, it's like there's a TV show coming out. You want to talk about the TV show? To me, that's
it's
like
not a
normal
TV show. It's a special. Okay. Of a former Moho, I guess former comedian who...
Former Alex, Moho. Once a Moho, always a Moho, baby.
Well, I think he's not as observant. I mean, I think he was raised Moho. I mean, you'll see. Got it. You haven't watched this, but the comedian Alex Edelman did a show off-Broadway. I mean, he did the show a lot of places, but I saw it off-Broadway, immediately hit up my Mohos, told them to go. They went. I think Alex went. I know Avid Avi went. I think Alex went. And then I saw it again when he moved to Broadway. And now it's they recorded the Broadway run for HBO Max. And that premieres April 6th. And I said, you, me, and Alex should do an episode on it.
Okay,
it's
I haven't seen
TV
the show.
It's not a TV show. It's just like a one, it's like
yeah, we can talk about
90
it.
Minutes.
We can talk about it.
Well, don't do me any favors. You're like,
I want to see the show first.
Season ideas.
I want to see the, you know, maybe I'll
I
watch
can't
it.
Vouch. My vouch no good.
You're saying I'm going to like it because you've seen this show already.
I've seen this show 3 times.
But how well do you know my taste in like media? Would you
all
say
the Mohos liked it too?
But I'm asking you a question. How well do you think you know like what I like and don't like?
I'll say this. I'm pretty positive you will like this, or at least like it enough to discuss it.
Okay. All right. Deal.
You and Mara should watch it with all the kids. It's really great, particularly at this time in the world, though he developed the show prior. But it has, I mean, he has said, it's not that he's changed it, but like obviously the context has now changed slightly. The conceit, which is not a spoiler to anyone who wants to watch it. Is that he attended a white supremacist meeting in Queens probably like 5 years ago now, 6 years ago now, and developed this pre-pandemic. And the special is about, it's more of a Mike Birbiglia style storytelling, but stand-up woven through comedy show about his journey as a quite visibly Jewish, I mean, he doesn't wear a yarmulke, but like stereotypically visibly Jewish guy going to a white supremacist meeting in Queens. Allie from the editing room, I'm realizing I don't think I know what conceit means, so I Googled it. Whenever I hear myself say something, I'm like, ugh, did I use that wrong? And honestly, like, I still don't know. Like, I think I was using it to mean, like, the concept, or maybe it is a metaphor. I don't know. Watch the stand-up special and let me know if you think I used conceit correctly. Back to the show.
You'll
like it.
I'm planning on liking it.
You don't have to plan on like it. But if you don't like it, even more interesting.
Yeah, I'll be like, this sucks.
But we have some old business before we get into season 6, which I think doesn't suck. We've got to do some hits here. We got to see if you want to update the boyfriend rankings now that Sam has left us, at least for now. I guess I'll just ask you that.
Okay.
I don't know where you had Sam.
I think item number 2.
If you want to send this to me, I can keep it in my doc too.
I have to find it. Now I'm Googling
you have an
Sam.
Email. I believe you have an email.
Yeah, what's give me another name besides Sam, because Sam searching for Sam didn't
Schmidt?
Help.
Oh no, that was in my character ranking, so spoiler. No, I'm just kidding. Teddy? That you probably don't have like Genslinger? You have any Genslingers?
I don't know if I would have spelled Genslinger.
Bearclaw.
Right,
Spencer. Russell.
These are like Bear Claw. Okay, so here, 12, 28, 21. That can't be the last time we did this.
But maybe you just didn't change it.
I think we didn't change it from last season. So I had Sam, Fancy Man, Nick, Teddy were my top four.
Do you have Ryan on your list at all?
No, those Ryan's not on this list.
So then that's not your latest list. But whatever, we'll work from there.
I must not have just written it down.
So what's your top three? Let's just stay with the top three as the most significant.
Jess boyfriend rankings.
Well, do we have others?
I'm sold on Nick now. I'll go Nick, Sam, Russell.
Okay, I have Sam, Nick, Russell, and I've left it there. I do think you are taking into account Nick when he's not in a relationship with Jess then.
Yeah.
I think you've got to stay true to the boyfriend.
No, I think I've never been the biggest Nick stan, but I think he's grown on me as we get towards the end of this show.
Is it because he shows up thin? Are you doing anti-bodyism?
No, I saw a picture of me today. No, I wouldn't be doing that.
You want to know something since we're a fitness podcast?
Mm-hmm.
I just got back from
fitness
a trip to
donut
LA.
Donut in our mouths? That one.
Where I said, don't say our mouths. I didn't have a donut today.
Okay. All
no,
right, good.
No, I don't. First of all, I don't want to put my appearance at issue. I feel like making jokes like that invites commentary. Like how you ranking episodes in Renap invites negative commentary. So I got back from L.A. Mm-hmm. Where
how
I was at a
it?
Wedding with the great producer Kelly. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, but PK was there too?
PK was there.
Did she wear her championship ring around?
She didn't. Okay. But it was great to hang with PK.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she said something to me and she'll let me know when she listens to this. I got to tell you, I left it all on the dance floor. I had a great time. I kept seeing the groom and I was like, this band is effing me up. Like, I was like, my friend Drew was killing it. Like, I was on the, did not leave the dance floor. My toe is still numb. I think I broke my toe in my shoe, but regardless, had a great time. Most of the time, I was just like hitting a zone where I could have been alone on the dance floor, you know? Like, I didn't even know where I was. I was just feeling the groove. And Kelly says to me, it won't really make sense because of the other guy, but she's like, my top two favorite people to be watching right now are this other guy and you. And I looked at her and was like, I don't know if that's a compliment or not. Because I'm not some expert dancer, so it must be because I'm looking a mess. But I let it flow off.
No, I think you were probably just having a good time.
Oh, I was having a good time for sure.
Is this like bridesmaid level? Because you're going across the country. Clearly, it's
good
friends.
No. I'm friends with the group.
Friends with the group.
I think we would call him friend of the podcast, Mike. Mike and Kelly, I think, started listening to this at the same time. I think... Kindly, Mike has fallen off listening, but one of my dear friends from law school, our dear friends from law school, me and Kelly. And then I made a trip out of it. I saw some friends from law school, friend of the pod, of the challenge pod, Johnny Langan, et cetera, et cetera. As a Northwestern alum, you pick up a lot of friends who moved to L.A.
Mm-hmm. You see Max Dawson?
I did not. Next trip. It was a quick trip.
Would you ever live in Los Angeles?
I love being there. Like, I love being there every time. I love, like, some of my favorite of my friends are there. Besides the driving, I just don't think, like, my friends are all
very
normal.
Oh, yeah, driving's like a deal breaker, right?
Driving is a deal breaker.
Although, do you know who? John Cochran, former Survivor winner John Cochran. I don't think he drives. I wonder how he gets around. You could find out.
I mean, I have a friend who was in New York City, born and raised. Moved out to L.A. and Ubered to work, which is, like, ridiculous.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I love L.A., but I think also, like, the lifestyle culture there, like, my friends are all very normal, thank God. But I felt a lot of pressure about what I was wearing. Like, I just want to wear black pants and a sweater and keep it moving, you know? That's not very L.A.
You want to keep it moving. Do you think you're laid back enough for Los Angeles?
No, but I feel like that's kind of a myth about Los Angeles.
Yeah.
For example, I'll tell you right now. I went to Schwartz and Sandy's, which I'm unhappy to report publicly on a podcast because Johnny suggested we go. This is the restaurant offering from Tom Sandoval of Scandoval.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with them?
Yeah.
Him.
Mm-hmm.
And it has gone downhill, like, very quickly, if it was ever uphill. And he was like, we should go.
So you're saying like a celebrity's capitalize off my fame restaurant when he's probably never there is not good.
Well, Actually, the other guy, the Schwartz of Schwartz and Sandy, who's also a guy on the show, was mm-hmm. there. But we didn't really go to see him. But he was there, if that helps. But regardless, we ordered a bunch of food, and all of the food items were kind of bad. But the one that was like, I forget what happened, but like the waiter who was a doll, the waiter was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And shout out Hector, he was great. And my two friends who live in LA, granted one's from Jersey and one's from Chicago, but they've been in LA for like 10 years now, start telling him like how bad one of the things was. And I was like, New Yorkers get a bad reputation. I'll just say it on the podcast. I'm not going to say it to his face.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I think of the laid backness of LA, there's enough transplants and whatever who are ruining the vibe, but I had a great time.
All right, that's cool.
Anyway, I forgot why I brought this up, but let's go to, shout out to producer Kelly. Great weekend. We had to do character rankings. Are you prepared with this?
Yes, I'm prepared.
For season 5.
Mm-hmm. Even though you said now, because I'm spoiled in the first episode of season 6 before we did this. Yeah. You
want
to go first?
Well, you know, you did tell me that if we, I said we were going to do it with Amanda, and then you said no, and I said, well, then you have to do it before you watch, and you said, okay, I will.
Yeah, I forgot. Sorry.
You were compromised. That's fine. You're also mm-hmm. spoiled. I have yet to be told what you're spoiled about.
I guess
hasn't paid off yet.
I don't even remember.
That was the strategy. We take 2 years to get to the next season.
I have one or two ideas of stuff, but I don't think I know anything definitively, I'll be honest.
Now, here's something. I wrote season 5 character rankings, but then I forgot that I wrote that and wrote season 6 character rankings, meaning going into season 6, and they are different. So that's, I guess, if you asked me 3 weeks ago how I was feeling, I had Nick, Schmidt, CeCe, Winston, Jess. The rankings I did today before I watched season 6, episode 1, were Schmidt, Nick, Winston, CeCe, Jess. I think the takeaway being that season 5, I think, is Jess's worst season for me.
Yeah.
That said, she was gone for a large majority of it, or a large portion of it.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to go Schmidt, Winston, CeCe, Nick, Jess.
Great. In the mirror of Jess is really Winston. Winston yeah. has risen from the yep. last ranked character in my season 4 rankings. Oh, I have yours. Season 4 Akiva character rankings were Schmidt, CeCe, Winston, Coach, Jess, Nick. Mm-hmm. So what were your season 5? I'll write it down for you.
I don't see it.
No, just this would be season 5.
Ah, this is season 5. I wrote 6 in my notes.
I Schmidt, don't see them. Where?
Schmidt, Winston, CeCe, Nick, Jess.
Okay, yeah. So Jess taking a drop for both of us. I think Nick was last for you. Nick drops from number 1 to number 2 behind Schmidt for me. Nope, I had Schmidt in season 4. Let's move on because I'm not organized. But now I have it for our final one we'll do at the end of season 6. And then, Kiwi, do we have any predictions? Now, I might have made a boo-boo, I'm not sure, earlier Mm-mm. today.
You told me something you shouldn't have told me?
I think you knew. Maybe you knew and forgot. Maybe you didn't know. But I don't think it's that consequent. I want to watch this season with you aware of this being the last proper season in the time zone we're in. Time zone? Year? Whatever. Timeline?
Sure. Timeline.
Cancel me.
Okay.
So season 6 is going to function as the final season in our current. There will be a time jump between 6 and 7, such that 7 feels like a bit of an epilogue.
Okay.
And I don't think that's a spoiler to tell you, because I think your predictions need to have in mind that the season could have ended at season 6.
Okay. Interesting. I didn't know this. I don't know if I didn't know it, but I didn't know it, if that makes any sense.
I think you knew it was a... I think you did know, because you knew it was a junior season. It's like 7 or 8 episodes. And then that there's like a time jump in it. Now, I don't even think it really spoils it, because there could be like a plot that resolves in X years in the future. Like, it's still 8 episodes. It's not like right. one episode, like Parks and Rec, where they flash forward.
Mm-hmm.
So does Akiva, do you have predictions for season six? You were so spot on in your season five.
Yeah.
Predictions.
Okay. I will say season six ends with a Nick and Jess engagement. And Cece and Schmidt being pregnant. And Winston, I don't think he's going to be engaged.
Do you predict a breakup for Winston and Allie? To me that she is, and I'll complain about this in the episode,
mm-hmm.
that she was not available to be a series regular. Like, this forced long distance FBI training, I really don't like.
What show is she doing that she can't be in the show?
This is 2016. I don't know where I am right now, but I just am irritated.
You know, you don't know where you are, but you must know where Nassim Pedrad was.
Why? What must I know where Nassim Pedrad is? SNL?
I don't know. I was joking.
Oh, I thought this was a quiz. Like, everybody knows.
So I see she's in 10 episodes of Scream Queens, but that probably filmed already. She's in 10 episodes of People of Earth.
When was she on SNL?
09 through 14.
Oh, so that's not even.
She just gets off SNL when she starts New Girl. Or she was. Oh, do you know what she did? Oh, she was also in Mulaney. She was one of the stars of Mulaney. Mm-hmm. People of Earth is the show she was on.
So what do you think's happening with Winston and Allie?
Break up in a few episodes.
Yeah, I mean, it gives that, right? Because it's like, if she's not free, what can you do? Although, they do mistreat Winston, so perhaps he could have an entire relationship off camera this whole season.
Yeah.
All right. Now, it's interesting because, like, knowing the certain amount of time in the future for the eight episodes, I don't know, I said three episodes, it's like they are poised for an Allie Winston breakup or Nick Jess breakup that then, we have a bump in a mall in the future. Like, you could kind of have, like, a friend breakup and a reconnection in a certain mm-hmm. amount of years.
Yeah.
It is interesting. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to say something and have no evidence to say it. I don't know of any other show I've watched that does something like that, but it could be the most common sitcom trope of all time. I just
probably. I hear what you're saying.
All right. Let's get to the digest. September 20. I don't know if I said originally aired September 20th, 2016, written by Lou Vrocky again, who wrote last week's episode. Too.
But I noticed something on the television.
Please.
Directed by Zooey.
Wow, that's not even a good call, Keith. How'd she do? Let's hear the digest. What'd you think?
And this is the only episode that she directs. I just checked. Okay, digest for season six, episode one, House Hunt. Schmidt and Cece, now they're like very much in the newlywed phase, and they're going house hunting with their incompetent real estate agent, Allie's sister, and eventually their other semi-competent real estate agent, Jess. Meanwhile, like you said, Winston's doing long distance with Allie, and then Jess realizes for the eighth time in this series that she is in love with Nick.
Did you ever watch Homestar Runner, Strong Bad, homestarrunner.com?
Did I ever watch Homestar Runner?
Like, are you familiar with Homestar
Runner? I've heard of it.
So, my cousin got me into this when I was much younger.
Yeah, I looked it up. I don't know it. I've just heard of it.
It was like an internet series characters, and one of the things they had was this guy, Strong Bad, mm-hmm. and he would answer emails. And the first ever Homestar Runner anything I saw was a Strong Bad email called Sisters. And it's like, Strong Bad, my name is Allie, and me and my sister, like, think you're hot, cute. We want to date you. Like, he had a voice where he'd read it like this, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the computer crashes, and he, like, can't get to it. He's like, there's one person. There has to be someone listening to NGOG that knows what I'm talking about. But basically, the end of it is his computer crashes. He's like, no, come back, Allie. Come back, Allie, sister.
God, the old girl's working again. What do you got for me? Strong Bad, my sister and me think you are so cool. Do you have a girlfriend? There is two of us. Yours, Allie.
so sorry for everyone for doing this, but when you just said Ellie's sister, I couldn't stop doing it. Deeply sorry for recapping the dorkiest thing of all time.
That is funny.
Maybe that's what we'll do for NGOG's continued. I like doing bits where I think of what we would do next if we were doing it. Like, new guy, old Homestar Runner fan, and I could just show you, or I could just reenact old internet clips for you. What do you think of that?
That's an option. We could do, I mean, if we have to keep the letters the same, new guy, old Goodfellas, we just watch Goodfellas every week.
New guy, old geek. And same concept. Doing? I show you the internet videos that I watch as a
okay.
Tween.
Fun.
Okay, please somebody validate me that you know what I'm talking about if I don't edit this part out of the podcast for embarrassment. PK said, well, what'd you think of the start to season 6? Because I will say in the recap where they show, like, where did we leave off with Sam and Jess and Nick and Reagan, Schmidt and Cece getting married, Winston and Allie saying that I love each other. Like, they really accomplished a lot in the season finale last season. And I'm really, like, pumped to get into season 6. I like this episode.
Yeah, it was a good episode. Not as funny, but more of a plot episode for sure.
Here's a question. When it's so hard to ask, I don't think you would have watched this on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Or continued to watch it, but it's like, when would you probably, as a regular viewer, would have fallen off before we've gotten to, like, the good season 5 and season 6, right?
I fall off a lot of stuff. Nothing personal, so probably.
Well, I didn't write this.
I know.
So it's definitely not personal.
I know, but when would I fall off? It's a good question. I don't know. Season 3?
Yeah, I don't think you really would have made it past the first episode. Unless, like, Mara was watching it.
Oh, yeah, maybe if I'm watching with the girls or something.
But you watch a lot more racier stuff with your girls, I'm hearing from Renata.
I don't watch anything with them.
They're inviting you to watch.
Yeah, that's true.
They invited Akiva, for anyone who's not listening, to Renap.
Hmm.
What movie was it again?
Sydney
Anyone
Sweeney.
But You. My only review of that movie when I saw it, I texted Missy and was like, well, they made the most of having two very hot actors as nude as possible. Mm-hmm. Your kids are like, Dad, come watch this with us.
I mean, my daughter has watched with my wife, and I guess they invited me to come, but I was out.
I think between this and Ella inviting you out for her birthday, I think your kids, like, think you're cool.
Do they think I'm cool?
I'm saying
no,
think
I don't think
they do.
Think I'm cool. I can ask them if they think I'm cool, but I don't think
I think they might say no. But by my estimation of just hearing the stories, I think they do.
I'll ask them tomorrow. Do they think that I think I'm cool?
Even if they say no, just know that I think they think yes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, producer Kelly says, perfect timing with you ranking your favorite characters. Were you surprised to hear Nick's rankings when he returned to the loft? He calls out Schmidt, Jess, Winston, Winston's cat. Fine, Cece. You dead?
No, I just was, like, in silence. I thought it was funny.
Okay, great. Is this the energy you gave to Alex and 32 fans?
Alex was, like, not there. It's, like, a weird... Alex, like, barely follows college basketball, so it was mostly me. It was a rare mostly me episode.
You know, people are inappropriately giving you heat on the Last or Not podcast for not gleaning enough information about the Hunger Games on 3X.
Mm-hmm.
But
people should watch the movie on 3X and then tell me, or watch a movie they haven't seen and tell me how much they hop. It won't be so much.
Did you say hop?
How much they hop? How much they understand?
Oh, I thought you were saying hop, but that you put a ch on
no
it.
Hop.
Tell them to come up with 300 episodes of a podcast and get back to you. And
I know.
Success and get back to you.
Yeah.
Finally, we can unite on hating your audience, but the reason I bring it up is that I said to Matt Liguori, it did make me feel better about how little you glean from New Girl. It's just not just us.
Well, I at least know who's who on New Girl, which I did not in the Hunger Games.
I don't know if you could facially identify a difference between Schmidt and Nick.
Yeah, of course I could.
Oh, really? Well, then you tell me you wouldn't, you'd see me on the street and not notice me. Like, what is your facial blindness?
I don't know. I only know it when I see it.
Or when you don't see it.
Or when I don't see it.
When you can't see it.
True.
All right. One thing I also learned on this trip, I rewatched a couple episodes of The Office on the plane.
Okay.
And
yeah. It's always on every plane.
Here's actually a decent idea. So I put in the NGOG chat.
Mm-hmm.
What episodes of New Girl were available. And I was like, you know, it actually is a kind of decent arc where what they pull out, you could kind of watch those out of context and get a decent idea of what happens in the series.
Mm-hmm.
That's another podcast idea. You just watch the episodes of a TV show that are available on a commercial flight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Like, that could be an episode of Renap, or that could be someone's podcast. Like,
see that? That's an episode. Watch stuff on the plane. Episode. Go to the plane. Another episode.
What are you talking about?
It's a Seinfeld bit. You know that show, Seinfeld? Oh.
Yeah.
And when they're pitching the television show Seinfeld?
I'm making a serious pitch here, and you're coming back at me with a Seinfeld reference? A shitty Seinfeld reference at that?
Okay.
We'll move on. So the update here for all the... Oh, so the reason I brought it up is I watched The Office, and honestly, like, the fact that... here's a little bit of a knock on New Girl in the fact that they, like, never give Winston a storyline in the first three seasons. Like, I forgot how much The Office accomplishes with, like, nine major character storylines often addressed in the same episode. I'm like, New Girl really has no excuse for kind of shafting Winston.
No, I would agree. I think, but now he's like getting less shafted, no?
No, but we have to, I'm just saying it was like an instant comparison of like, wow, they're really covering a lot of ground and moving very smoothly between a huge amount of characters. Shout out to The Office. They definitely needed my approval. All right, so Schmidt and Cece, they're buying a house. I think that answers one of the questions we had at the end of last season. Like, what's their plan? They're just going to continue to live in an apartment? But no, they are desperate to get a house.
Yeah, and they, by the end of the episode, get a house, although it is quite the definition of a fixer-upper. But I was surprised. Yeah, I did think they would live in the loft or, like, next door in the building.
They could definitely use Zooey's current partner with that house. The property brother, because it is in rough shape.
But is that going to happen? That's not one of my season six, you know, predictions that the property brother comes in.
I do wonder, like, what the plan is for the house. Are they let's get an instant Kiwi predict right here. Like, are they going to kind of yada yada the demo, and by next week we're like largely able to live in that house, or are they going to be living in the loft while the house is being furnished? Whatever.
I think maybe live in the loft. That's a good question. I didn't think of it. Maybe like live in the loft for the next six episodes or something.
Despite all the quality light demo work they all started doing, yeah. Just like ripping.
I thought
out
that was
the
going somewhere at the end of the episode. It didn't really go anywhere.
Well, they found a fireplace. It's like they discovered old good bones. All right, as I've already vented about, Allie's in a two-month FBI training program, which irritated me. And it almost was like, did they not expect chemistry between Allie and Winston? Is she someone that kind of came on the show and then they were like, wait, we'd like this to really move somewhere? Or,
she was,
you know,
just
did
booked.
She decline, like, continuing because of her new opportunity?
I bet she was just booked.
Hmm. You'd think you'd get an actress that's, like, available now. I don't know how anything works.
I'm not sure how it works, but, yeah, I would. You'd think. I think it's a fair question.
So Allie's sister, as you expertly summarized, Leslie, played by Aiden Maiari, is going to be showing houses, real estating. Do you know her from anything?
No. I was thinking about that. I didn't look her up, though. What is
so
her name?
I did... I don't know her anything from anything. It's like a
What's
couple episodes of Grace and Frankly. Aiden Maiari, her biggest role, eight episodes in I Love That For You with Vanessa Bayer and The After Party, which I don't know what that is. Seven episodes of that, 2020, both in 2022.
Yeah, she looked familiar.
She did look familiar, but then I did not know her from anything.
No,
what
I don't
was
know
the after party? Tiffany Haddish, Sam Richardson? John Cho, Zoe Chow. Not for me, because it's a murder mystery. Benny Schwartz? Should we
what,
be watching
now,
this?
What don't you like there? Murders or mysteries?
A murder, for sure.
You're out on murder, okay.
But as I have accidentally covered multiple murder mysteries on PSR.
Okay.
You did not know that when you guys were talking about Clue, you and Rob, that Josh Wigler and I had done a
I don't even
podcast.
Believe it, even you told me.
Well, I'm shocked it didn't come up when you guys Googled, like, Clue podcast, but I think it was behind a paywall.
Damn. I didn't
I
know you were...
I think it was, Josh Wigler would do, I can't even find it if I Google it, in fairness. Clue podcast, PSR, Josh Wigler. He did, like, a movie podcast, I think, for patrons only, maybe.
I had no idea.
Yeah, it was a good concept. It was basically, like, there were four options. It was, like, an audience pick, a Josh pick, and the guest from last week's pick, and then the audience would vote. So I think Superbad was on the table, and I was really optimistic about that, but then they picked Clue, and I was like, I feel like you got the wrong guy. But it was a lot of fun. And then I did Glass Onion with Grace and Ariel.
The internet has scraped this podcast, but I guess if it's on Patreon, it's on Patreon.
Well, now I'm thinking, did I do Glass Onion or did I do Knives Out? And meanwhile, no one cares, and I'm still Googling it for my own. Yes, I did Glass Onion. Okay. Check it out. All right, but yeah, we don't know her, but she did look familiar. Matt Stewart says, how are you with significant other siblings? Which I feel like is a good question for you, because you have, how many brother or sister-in-laws do you have between you and Mara?
I have three sisters, and she has three siblings, two boys and two brothers and a sister.
And they're all married.
Hers are mine. I have one unmarried.
Oh, right. So you have five blanks in law.
I have five in-laws, yeah.
No, but in-laws would also count their parents, but siblings in-law.
I have five siblings in law, correct.
So you are you a good brother-in-law?
I don't think so. You know, for the most part, I mean, I'm not bad. I'm not, like, aggressively bad. But I'm not, like, you know, most of them I'm not like, on a day-to-day or a week-to-week basis with.
Well, for most of them, you have distance in your advantage.
True.
To your advantage.
No, I don't think any of them would give me rave reviews. But nothing. I don't think I'd, like, get the worst reviews in the world. But, I don't. You know, I don't think I'd get any raves.
No, I think as long as you're not getting negative reviews, it's like,
I'm also like,
mooch on you.
I either speak to people or I never speak to them. So, like, if there's someone I don't speak to, like, I'll go 5 years without, like, you know, I, like, don't text them and don't say happy birthday or nothing against them. If I see you in person, happy to talk, you know, but I'm not going to, like, go out of my way for 95% of people.
Now, I know what you meant, but what you said was I either speak to people or I don't speak to them.
Yeah.
Which is how everybody is. You either are speaking to someone or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
But you mean you either speak to someone very regularly or not.
Or never. 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 Yes.
Yeah, I joke. I'm trying to get better at this, but I've always joked, like, and I've probably said it on this podcast, I am either in your wedding or not invited.
Yeah, you've said that before.
Like, I'm either in your core
except
or I
for the
don't
literal
know them.
The literal wedding that you just mentioned where you
but
said
that's
you
a groom
not... ah okay
so it's like I don't not have that, any male friends, like I've got to obviously make exceptions when I'm not going to be a bridesmaid.
Okay, you think you were
wedding.
Close enough to be a bridesmaid, it just would have been weird.
I would not have been a bridesmaid in this person's wedding, but I did say I'm working on that. I'm working on modulating relationships, and it's obviously not an absolute. As you like to say, I was the last on the list invited to Brian's wedding.
Finally, you know, last in, first out.
That's what? I think it's FIFO. First in, first out.
First in, first out, yeah.
Last in, first out is very bougie of you.
Last in, first out.
That's like stocking things. Like if you are inventorying something. So if you've got like apples.
Mm-hmm.
If you did last in, first out, you'd be selling your freshest apples and letting the back ones rot.
Can I just tell you? So I got home and I went straight to podcast. I did 32
Fans. Someone with the prime spot.
Mm-hmm. And then, but we didn't finish, and they asked me for to continue, like to take a break and continue in the spot, and I said sorry. Little show called New Girl Old Guys got the spot.
It and took then, over. It was a 2-hour podcast, and you did not complete it. Because programming note, I'm on vacation today, so I said I'm available whenever, and you said you have a show from 2:30 to 4, but you actually went 2:30 to 4:30, and they
no,
still didn't
it was
finish?
It was an hour, and then I had to deal with the kids for an hour.
Oh, you ended early. You ended at 2:30, 3:30.
Yes, and then. And now I got to go do that. And now it's 11:08 at night. I still have another podcast to do at midnight.
With who?
I'm saying to complete the first podcast.
Oh, you are getting back. I thought you said no.
Well, I said no to the time because we took the time. I'm going to do it right after this. But I haven't eaten. And it's not looking good if I podcast from like 12:30 or 12 to 1.
Go get a snack. I'll do a little more exposition.
So
the
I'm
show.
Just going to text my daughter, are you up? If so, can I eat something? And we'll see if maybe by the end of the show I can get food.
Can I eat something? I mean, I'd look.
Because it's like a little more needy to say, wait, make me food. But if I say, can I eat something, that's my little trick.
Well, you're putting the emotional burden on, the mental burden on her to decide what to eat. Why don't you ask her, bring me a yogurt or whatever?
Well, I don't want a yogurt. I want dinner. Is yogurt dinner for you?
Is it left? Well, if it's a podcast, it's a nosh. It's a I just need a little protein boost. What are you looking for? Like a roast chicken?
What do you think? So she just walked in. Hi, Ella.
Hello.
Get Ella on the podcast.
What are my eating options? You think tonight? Do I have any? Like, is there anything in the house?
An apple and banana.
No, I'm not
avocado.
There you go.
I'm not eating an apple. I'm not a baby. You gave an apple to Shy.
No, Shy had sushi.
You think you're better than
he
your
had
baby
sushi?
Son?
I want you to stay healthy and skinny.
We have sushi in the
Slay.
House?
Did
All right, get
did
out of here. Don't make me
I have a question. Did Shai have plain sushi?
What kind of sushi did? Yeah. Get out of here. Close the door. I don't ever look at a bill, but they're getting sushi on a Tuesday night. Meanwhile, their dad is going hungry.
So they didn't order you a roll for later?
And then she said they had burgers last night.
I do love that she's restricting you to fruit for your waistline.
I think it's just like, hey, I don't want to make you food.
Well, she could have ordered you a roll in the sushi order.
I don't think they really had. I'm not sure what she's talking about. It's hard to.
So is she bringing you something? Did you get any success out of that?
I don't think so. I think I got to ask a second time. I know that. Listen, nobody knows these women better than me. And by these women, I mean just my wife and this one and Ella.
I know. What you meant by these women, not like.
I didn't mean like every woman on the planet.
Wait, that's why you said these
But I
women.
Know if I ask her twice, she'll do it. Every question I can ask, I could tell within like 2 seconds of like.
I mean, she did
yes,
jump
no.
up immediately upon getting your text.
Well, I texted, yeah, she's right. She's in the room next to me. I guess, you know, she had put whoever she was putting back to sleep. And, maybe she heard me talking of a loud voice. I don't know.
All right. Meanwhile, we've got to get a move on here because I am taking myself to a lavish Broadway play about priests and inappropriate relationships with children. So
okay,
I'm going to see a Jewish man play priest.
I got some
accused
comments
of fondling.
I got some comments about how impressive it was how many Broadway plays you'd seen.
From who? Well, Alex did mention it. And Alex used the information I provided on one of the podcasts, but I forget. Oh, about MJ the Musical being a success.
Really?
You know also my theory on compliments?
What?
Well, I've said it on this podcast, but like that like 50-50 someone's saying a compliment because they just don't like something so much they have to acknowledge it. Like, whoa, like your shirt. Yes. Are you
50,
receiving
50,
that?
I don't understand. 50-50.
So 50% of the time, if someone's like that, getting a compliment is neutral because 50% of the time, if you walk in and someone says, "Whoa, I like your shirt," it's because they noticed it and they don't like it, so they have to then say something about it.
Interesting.
Anyway, Alex referenced this as though I'm like a talking head on like a talk show or a pundit or a podcaster legitimately. Because he was like, there was someone I was listening to who has this compliment theory, but I don't remember where I heard it. And I was screaming like, it's me, dummies. It's me. Like, but I felt so legitimate that it was like, I was like, I could have been anyone. I could have been a legitimate person who had said that.
I like the it's me, dummies. We should bring that more often.
But I'm seeing Liev Schreiber.
Oh, Mr. Hard Knocks himself.
I love Liev Schreiber. Do I? I don't know. Has he been canceled?
No.
Can I still love Liev Schreiber?
Yes, you can. You even more than ever before, you could love Liev Schreiber.
Okay, excellent. I last saw him in A View from the Bridge. Now I'm going to see him as a priest.
You don't watch Hard Knocks? He made a meta appearance
as himself. Which
Hard
Knocks was he involved in?
The New York Jets this year.
I would really like to watch
Hard
Knocks.
He's the voice of Hard Knocks. He's in every Hard Knocks.
Oh.
He's the voice.
Well, I haven't seen Hard Knocks since Ocho Cinco was featured, so it's been a long time.
But that's him. Like, put on a clip right now from YouTube of Hard Knocks. It's.
Well, I've heard Liev Schreiber. I don't need to. I'm going to hear him tonight.
But then finally, in this season, because Aaron Rodgers, like, called him the voice of God, he showed up at practice and, like, made an on-camera appearance instead of just his, behind-the-scenes narration.
Is Aaron Rodgers going to be back next season? Or is he?
Well, I was
forever?
Nervous he was going to take the VP job for RFK or whatever his name is and do the and then not play. But someone else got the job. And, yeah, I think he's going to play. They just signed a wide receiver for him as we speak.
I mean, he's making it hard to root for him. And by that, I mean he always was. But it's particularly bad.
Listen, I've long since said, I mean, I have a tweet that said Roger Goodell could kidnap my kids and I'd still watch the NFL that Sunday. Like,
Alex said something similar, I think, on our soccer podcast.
Like, I don't really care about the – like, there's 53 guys on the team. I got to agree with all 53 guys' politics, or I got to be like the anti-Kaepernick people from 10 years ago who are like, I'm never watching football again. Right?
I don't think you have to agree with their politics, but he's a real nutso dummy. And I'm
I agree.
I'm not saying you should stop rooting for the Jets. I just said he's making
I would never.
Mouth.
You don't have to say that. Like, I would never.
Yeah, I know.
His, like, politics could be, like, against me, and I would, like, still figure out. I mean, if you're, like, Ben Shapiro or, Tucker Carlson or, like, one of these, like, right-wing commentators, Ted Cruz,
Yeah, I'm
aware
of Republicans.
You're aware of the concept of the Republican. So, like, you have to, like, assume that if you're Ted Cruz, that, like, you're watching a show or a movie or whatever, like, most of the people in that show, like, know who you are and hate you, right? You have to be able to, like, put things aside.
I mean, I don't believe that most people who watch Tucker Carlson hate him, but that's a more depressing conversation.
It just must be weird, because if, like, one person hated me, I would be like, I can't watch that show. That person's in there. He was mean to me once,
Well, at this point, every politician hates us, so I'm not really interested in what anyone has to say.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get back to this. I've got to go. I've got a date with Liev, and I got to do my whole ritual. I got to take myself out. I got to sit at the bar, so I got to be getting going here.
Okay. Wait, so what's your ritual, quickly?
I go to a specific restaurant in New York. I sit at the bar. I have a burger. It's one of my favorite burgers in New York. Same bartender's always there. I get a drink. I have my burger. I don't talk to anyone. I don't look at anyone. Although,
but don't you usually go with somebody, or you usually go by yourself?
Do I usually go? It's a mix. I couldn't possibly see everything I see if I always went with other people.
I understand. But do you bring someone to the bar with you if you are going out with that person?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. My ritual when I take myself to a show is this whole process.
So if you're going with the Jude, let's say, you're not going to this bar.
Oh, yeah, of course not. Like, if I'm going with a friend, we get a bite. I don't say, excuse me, I've got to unwind alone at this bar. I'll meet you at the
show. No, I didn't think you have to unwind. I thought maybe you would take her.
I've been to this place with people before.
Okay.
It's a very big pre-theater thing. So, like, people there are usually seeing shows. You could, whatever.
Does the bartender know you?
I don't think so, but I like it that way.
You mean you go there nice all the guy. Time, but it's like Manhattan. There's
not
a lot
all
of
the time. Sorry, I misrepresented. I don't see shows alone all the time. So if I'm probably there 4 times a year. Like, I'm not there like once a week.
Mm-hmm.
I wish.
Do you ever go to the movies
yourself? Yeah, well, I was between a show or a movie, but we took the movie slot right now. My favorite thing to do when I'm off from work is go to a movie during the day that I wouldn't be able to go to normally.
Oh, but that's fun.
I wanted to see American Fiction at 4:30, but I prioritize this. You're welcome, everyone.
You're a queen.
Points to no one, looks to camera. Mm-hmm. All right, we've got to get going, Keev.
So all right, what do we got to talk
Nick
about?
Nick is back. We've covered nothing. Nick's back. Everything's good with Reagan. Getting to the Keevy's Digest a bit, producer Kelly, like, can we get a prediction on what you think's going to happen with Reagan? Matt Stewart says, will Reagan be in another episode? They're also kind of yada-yadding Reagan into a long-distance relationship with Nick.
Right. Yeah, I think it's like they were, you know, she's not just going to become a regular Megan Fox. Again, I think we see her one more time total.
So Jess has been throwing herself into other activities. I think we realized through this episode she's not even really cop to her feelings to Nick, to Cece. Later, she's got to cop to it, to Schmidt and Cece, to kind of explain her crazy, overbearing behavior. I kind of thought this was done well. It was an exaggerated version of what someone really would be doing, acting weird, trying to distract themselves, investing in other people's drama in their lives, and then finally getting to, like, all right, I'll say it out loud. I have feelings for Nick.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the gag
was... Is this the fifth time, by the way, that she's, like, fallen back in love with Nick?
See, I don't know. I, like, actually think that the will they, won't they hasn't been so overdrawn, but maybe that's just my own opinion, only because I think they have both been in very legitimate relationships. Mm-hmm. Nick is with his dream girl right now, and we'll see where that goes. And I thought Ryan goes in you. I thought Sam, both could have really been endgame for Jess. They still could be. But, like, it's not like they've been doing the dance the whole time. Like, I think mm-hmm. they've really been invested in their relationship separately.
I hear you,
but...
I think
they handled the transition back to their friendship quite well. Like, I think they definitely got back to a regular friendship place.
I think it's true, but I also think it feels like it's been the whole series.
One thing I did like this episode is, like, Schmidt's response being, we all really need to start meeting other people. Like, they did kind of do a couple of winks at that, which I appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
I thought those were funny. What'd you think about the real estate part where it's like they get the house, they're so excited, and then they find out, like, that house isn't actually for sale? It's
weird.
A little, like,
I didn't
corny,
understand.
I
did they
it.
Pay for it? Like, did they lose that money?
Yeah. That I did think, because I didn't really remember what happened. I remembered the, like, beaten up, dilapidated house, and I remembered this gag. So I kind of thought, like, it was going to, like, she put an offer on a shitty house, and now they're screwed with the shitty house, like Cece was screwed with the shitty dress. Mm-hmm. We do not understand what Allie did with the offer. I guess she faxed it to no one, or, like, sent it to the wrong address, but, it did, you know, I don't know. That did not get ironed out.
Jeez.
But it was a millennial writing staff. None of us have had experience buying mm-hmm. a house, so no True. One probably knew what was involved. Where do you think of where Nick and Jess leave off? Because we get, I'm kind of, oh, here's a thing I have to get to before we jump to the end here. I loved the bit where Schmidt says in the they're shopping a really expensive, nice house. And Schmidt says it has the water pressure of his mother with his Huff Tora portion, gentle, unrelenting mm-hmm. pressure.
Yeah, it's funny.
That was great. And I did think they were going to buy this house. And so I do think, like, they go meet with the bank, the very irritated banker. Nick agrees to sign on co-guarantee, whatever, the loan with the mm-hmm. bar, asking very few questions. I think he asks one question before he puts his whole life on the line for this house. And I thought they were going to go through with it. I did like kind of the zag that Schmidt and Cece actually make a responsible choice and decide not to buy the, like, very, very expensive house.
Yeah. No, I think the house they buy, because I was thinking, like, what money, I was writing, like, in my head, like, what money are they buying this house with, right? Like, Schmidt, does he even still have a job? I think no, right?
Yeah, that's an undress, but it definitely should be called back to, probably. But they do make a responsible
And CC decision. Doesn't really work, so.
Well, she works at the bar that they're putting up on the line here. Right. So it's like really all of their livelihoods at risk for this water pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so much to talk about, but like, I really enjoyed this episode. Again, I love that we all need to meet new people. Ridiculous that Nick would walk in the bank and help Jess pick up a picture frame and not know that that was Jess. Even you wouldn't do that.
Even me? I might have done that, honestly. But I hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Maybe. Mm. So Allie's sister, in kind of a great, I think, redirect from Winston. Winston fires Allie's sister unsuccessfully and then says it's because he needs her because he's buying a house. And she goes to bring him to a boat and says that she was driving to her doctor's office last night and she saw it. And Matt Stewart says, why was she driving to her doctor at night? My question is, why is her doctor 3 boats down? I was cracking up at that. What kind of doctor do you think on a boat?
Yeah, the first thing says at night. And I'm like, doctor at night? And then, yeah, that is pretty funny. But, yeah, she's clearly like, she's a Rafi-esque character.
Yeah, a light diet Rafi.
Mm-hmm. I like diet Rafi. That's funny.
And I like the resolution of that with Winston and Allie, where Allie's like, whoa, like, I know my sister's a dummy. You could be honest with me. And then what'd you think of their hang-up song? When you are at the Olympics or in the U.S. for the Olympics, do you think you're going to use this with Mara when you guys hang up?
I mean, how often do you think we're speaking on the phone that we would do?
That's the biggest problem with it. Not enough opportunities.
The hang-up song.
Do you remember where there's like, it's a very mushy song between Allie and Winston.
I don't remember it, honestly.
Hanging up now. Oh, she's like, Allie loves Winston, Winston loves Allie, and we're both hanging up now. All right. 3X, 4X, 5X, what did we get for this episode, Keith?
I listen, 1X. I 1X this, baby.
Maybe we need to drop to 0.5X.
All right, I'll slow listen. It's a little late.
All right.
I'm hanging in there.
So I think at the end, we find out Nick wrote his book and the dedication, this is the number one thing I want to talk about, brought a tear to my eyes. It was to Anthony Rizzo and the Chicago Cubs for all we've been through, and to my friend Jessica Day for the same thing. I think this really kind of breaks the ice for Jess. I think they end both in the house with like a more reasonable, less awkward friendship place. Matt Stewart wants to know, and producer Kelly wants to know, if you wrote a book, who would you dedicate it to?
Oh, good question.
Kelly says, would it be the Jets for all you've been through?
No, why would I dedicate? I mean, tell them to win something first. what if it was like, what if I dedicated it to just one of my kids, but it was like random which one?
Ella, for bringing me an apple.
Let's see what dinner
podcast.
Is first. How about this? If she gives me a good dinner tonight, then my first book is for her.
All right. So Akiva will update us
mm-hmm.
next week. So they get the house. It's the dilapidated house. Now, one thing I have a problem with, they hang this wedding photo, and it's a beautiful photo. Where was this photo taken? It looks like it's sort of during the day. I guess it could have been the roof, but I think they got married at night when Schmidt gets back. So like,
right.
Does not track. Was
maybe
not
they took
the
wedding
loft.
Pictures. Here's my bet. I did notice that. And if I notice, it's bad. Maybe they like, because of the crazy wedding, maybe they had pictures taken like the next day or a few days later.
But he's got the flowers around him.
Oh,
or at least a boutonniere.
Yeah. Maybe they didn't put as much thought into it as we are, which often is the case, right?
All right. Let's get to the guide. And then I got to get out of here. So producer mm-hmm. Kelly says, are these 4 storylines going to be the main arc of the season? Schmidt and Cece's house / move out, Jess being into Nick, Nick's book, Winston dating Allie long distance.
I don't think the book is going to be the storyline, but I could be wrong.
Which one do you think is most likely to really have the through line?
What are the other 3? So the book, I say no.
Schmidt and Cece's house / move out.
Yeah, I think Jess, that'll somewhat. It says B line.
Jess's love for Nick, Winston dating A. Allie long distance.
I'd say Jess for sure, Winston yes, the house medium.
Who won the episode? Do you want to hear from Matt Stewart and producer Kelly
yeah.
first?
Mm-hmm.
So producer Kelly said, who on the episode? Leslie. I don't care. Every morning I just Google houses and sometimes stuff comes up. And that's why I'm so good with people and horses are two of the best lines in all of New Girl.
Yeah.
Her delivery of three boats down kills me every time. Vote Leslie. Matt says Cece and Schmidt for buying the house.
Okay. So I do like the Leslie. You have to really stand out as a non-main player to win one. There's not an obvious winner here. I'm going to give that win to Nick because Nick has Jess in love with him and he doesn't know that the relationship with Megan Fox is about to end, but he's got Megan Fox and Zoe basically, sorry, bleep that out. you know, fighting over him and he doesn't even realize yet. So I'm giving it to Nick.
I thought it was Nick here and it's not close. So we're in agreement. I think he comes out of this in the best position by far. His bar is not put up for a loan, but he gets the friendship credit that he was willing to do it blindly. He's written his entire book, which is like the only thing he's wanted to do for the last 5 years. He's got a super hot girlfriend who's in Seattle, not that far from him.
Right.
And although I hear that I think the Pacific Northwest is closer together than it is, but still... And Jess is in love with him, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's everything's coming up Nick. Like, I think it's great for Nick. And he was funny. I really like the, like, see, you have one friend and it's Cece.
Right.
So it's got to be Nick. All right. Can't do a Garden Man. Got to do a Liev Man. I think that's it for us, Keeve. So season 6, episode 2.
What's it called?
Hubbity Bubby.
Hubbity Bubby? Spell
which
it.
I would think it would be Hubbity Bubbity, but I believe it's just
spell
Hubbity
it.
Bubby. Spelled exactly as you think it would be spelled. With a D, not a T.
I mean, this is one of the hardest ones to guess of the whole series.
Just make it up.
Schmidt's Bubby comes to town.
I will give you a hint. It is topical, and it aired... September 27th, 2016.
Okay. I don't know.
2016, probably more important than September.
Trump.
All right. Will we be back for a political episode next week? We'll see.
No way.
I almost said take it easy. Take it easy.
Take it easy. No, that's from now on we say that. That's how we end it. Take it easy.
Okay. Take it easy.
My pipe and my dad.